Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, where Broadway meets Main Street. Here's your host, my pal, David Alpert.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of E-Ticket to Broadway. Whether this is your first episode you've listened to or your 50th, I hope you enjoy this magical intersection of Broadway and the Disney theme parks. If you, like me, enjoy this overlap, treat yourself or your friends and family to some fun merchandise from the official E-Ticket to Broadway shop, perfect for your next trip to the parks or truly any day you wish you were at the parks. From shirts and hats to prints and mugs, we've got you covered. Head to www.eticketpodcast.com to bring home the magic. Also on the website, you can learn how you can become a VIP listener of E-Ticket to Broadway by becoming a Patreon. There are 5 different levels of giving with fun perks at each level, all to support the podcast and Gilana's Fund, an organization created in 2007, shortly after my older sister Gilana passed away. And this fund honors her legacy by helping organizations across the country whose missions align with the fund's core values: inclusion, justice, and acceptance. Before this episode begins, I wanted to introduce the E-Ticket community to another great Disney podcast, the D23 Inside Disney podcast, and I'm joined by one of the amazing hosts, Jeffrey Epstein from D23. Welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, Disney legend, if I may say so myself. Hello, Jeffrey. Let's get this started with one of my favorite questions. Who is your favorite Disney character?
I think Hey Hey, obviously. Hey Hey is my spirit animal. It is rare. First of all, thank you, the Disney legend. I one day aspire to that. I am very lucky to do publicity for the Disney Legends program, but not yet. Well, maybe one day. But Hey Hey, yes, because there's not a character who makes me laugh as much as Hey Hey, and I think laughter is a wonderful commodity in this world, and it's very important.
I agree completely. We have similar tastes in our Disney characters. Mine is Dopey. Kind of similar. Yeah. Do you feel like when you tell that to people, do they say like, do you relate to Hey Hey, or you just like them?
Most people, I think, who know me, they go, oh, I see that. And that's where it pretty much ends. And
because I was like, when I say Dopey and they say, oh, do you have something in common with Dopey? And I was like, we couldn't be more different. And that's why I love him so much.
Oh, well, I mean, I did just eat a rock yesterday, but other than that,
that's fair. So before we talk more about the D23 Inside Disney podcast, I want to go back to how Disney specifically influenced you from such a young age. And there's a beautiful article about your first trip to Walt Disney World online, from the excitement building up to it and going and seeing, you know, performances of both the Kids in the Kingdom and the Hoop to Do review, along with just being at a Disney theme park. I've shared on E-Ticket how for many of us who felt like an outsider as a kid found the Disney parks to be such a safe haven. Why do you think that is?
I think that there are a lot of reasons. I think partially it is the incredible storytelling, the fantasy element, the escapism that Disney offered me as a kid who was bullied. It was just magical, obviously, not to overuse that word, but I think it's appropriate here. And when I went to Disney World for that first time, as a bullied kid, and everyone was just so nice to me. That makes a huge impact on a kid, particularly a kid like me, I should say. I don't want to speak for every kid, but someone like me who was bullied, it felt really validating. And suddenly I was seen in a way that I hadn't been. And I always like to preface it saying that my parents are the most amazing, supportive parents ever. And nothing, it's just, I think there's only so much a parent can do to protect a kid. So that was amazing, and I felt welcomed, and I think there's a whole elevated sense of your senses are elevated. The colors are brighter, the smells are sweeter. That is my experience at a Disney park, and that made me feel like I want to live here forever. And so, of course, years later, when Disney Vacation Club opened at the Contemporary, my favorite resort, I was like, all right, I'm done. Here I go. So now I can officially say I live at the Magic Kingdom.
Which I think we all, listening to this, I think we all agree with. And it's true. I feel similarly that Disneyland, specifically for me, was always a place that was unconditional love and happiness and a place where we were all encouraged to look around us and not at each other, almost mm-hmm. in a way.
Was Land your first theme park? Or World was my first. That's why I think it might yeah. be that way for me.
Yep, yep. Land was, I say on my podcast, you know, are you a Land boy? Are you a World boy? Or which team are you? And I'm definitely a Land boy. Hmm. And I truly think that, you know, as a young gay boy from Michigan, there was just something about seeing Mickey every time that no matter what, he was smiling and ready to give me a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And I Absolutely. Think that's the core. I love that you have shared that with your audiences as well.
Yeah.
I also love in the article you talked about such a deep love for musical theater, which is, of course, the intersection of E-Ticket to Broadway. If you could turn any Disney film or attraction into a Broadway musical, which one would you choose?
Wow. I mean, we've already done so many amazing, I mean, like I was so excited that we did Hercules. Like I would have said Hercules. So many of my favorites. And some have already been stage shows in other places like Tangled. So I don't want to say something that feels like it's already exists somewhere in the planet. So how about we do Carousel of Progress, the musical?
Yes, I am there for that. Would you like to be in it or just as an audience member?
I mean, at the rate I'm going, I'm going to be playing Cousin Orville in the tub. That's really, yeah. I think that's where my life is pointing me.
I think that could be a really great stage show, The Carousel of Progress.
I'm in. I would be in for that. The family that never ages over 100 years. It's like Tuck Everlasting meets a used Disney theme park attraction.
That's right. That's right. If other way around, is there a Broadway show that you would turn into an experience at the Disney parks, whether it's a parade, an attraction?
That's hard because we've done some pieces of that. So I think about Newsies, but then I remember the Newsboys on Buena Vista Street and how terrific they were. Or I think about Little Mermaid and I think about the incredible Little Mermaid. I mean, obviously the attraction here is wonderful, but there was a great experience at Tokyo Disney Sea that was so immersive and cool. So I feel like there've been so many that have been done. I mean, so if I'm going to pick one that hasn't been done, I guess it's Aida, because I'm trying to think, I don't think I remember Aida in the parks ever. So let's bring Heather Headley and Adam Pascal.
I mean, we love Aida, but it can be any Broadway show. It doesn't have to be from the Disney catalog. So if you want to see a Phantom of the Opera dark ride, I will make that happen for you.
I think I'm good on that. I need to see any friend who knows me will be like, seriously, you're saying this, but I need to see a chess attraction.
Oh.
I don't know what that would be like, but if Jodie Benson's a part of it from her North Shore performance as Florence, which I saw when I was a younger individual, I'm totally there. See, that's my intersection of Disney for that attraction.
Yeah, Jodie Benson really, I mean, like that's also the podcast, but this, you know, you could also have Judy Kuhn, of course.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think about that. Both of them.
Suddenly there's a Pocahontas audio animatronic and you're like, this doesn't seem right. But then you hear Pocahontas sing Nobody's Side and you're like, this is right.
Ooh. I mean, I feel like that is a song that Pocahontas would sing.
I agree. See, this is E-Ticket to Broadway at its core. Thank you, Jeffrey, for playing along. This is perfect.
Of course. I love it.
So speaking of games, we're going to play one of my favorite games. This is Fast Pass Answers. So I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock after I ask the first question for you to answer as many as you can. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Name any Disney princess.
Ariel.
Favorite snack in the parks.
Churro.
Name a character from Cinderella.
Cinderella.
Favorite ride in Fantasyland.
Peter Pan.
Name any Disney on Broadway musical.
Aida.
Favorite Disney villain?
Maleficent.
True or false, you love Dole Whips?
True.
Name a song from The Lion King?
Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Favorite country in Epcot? Time. Ooh.
Favorite country in Epcot, I mean, that would have been a very hard one. I like all of them, but probably England because of the pub. It's so much fun.
Fair. That was very exciting for me, Jeffrey. Thank you.
Of course.
You did so well.
Did I answer more than normal, at less than normal? I don't know how fast people normally are.
You did great.
Okay.
Sometimes people really get caught up, but I appreciated your calm, quiet determination to answer well.
Well, I'm really glad that you asked about the Dole Whip, because after I said churro, I immediately thought, why did you say churro? You should have said Dole Whip. I was just saying the first thing that came to my head. But yeah, because Dole Whip is, oh yeah.
Is that your favorite?
I guess if I had to pick one, yes, absolutely. It's so good.
You know what? I recently went to Disneyland, and for the very first time in my life, I ordered a Dole Whip.
That was your first Dole Whip?
I know, the first one I ever bought. I feel like I've tasted it maybe, but I was like, I'm going to do it. And I ate the whole thing. And you know what? Not a fan. It wasn't for me.
Really? I like that it's a non-dairy delight, which I very much appreciate. And my stomach appreciates even more.
I know. But like, I love pineapple. I love custard and ice cream, but combined. So I have to go back to my Mickey Mouse ice cream sandwich.
Okay. Well,
it might break your teeth.
It's so good. They're very frozen sometimes.
They're very frozen, just like Elsa and Anna.
Oh, nice transition.
I know. There. Thank you. Thank you. So, Jeffrey, for all of the E-Ticket to Broadway listeners, can you tell us a little bit about the D23 Inside Disney podcast?
Sure. I never thought you'd ask. So, much like your podcast, born out of a love for Broadway and Disney, we began the official Disney podcast called D23 Inside Disney just over 2 years ago. And the idea was to give Disney fans the latest Disney news in little bits, because we know if you're a Disney fan, the odds are good that you probably know a lot of the news. But we want to make sure that, you know, just in case there was one thing you hadn't heard, you can then find it more on the Parks blog or on D23 or and on ABC or ESPN. But then it was always about, let's find some really fun, interesting people, either from within the company or people who are working as creative talent with the company, to go in and chat with. And so over the last 100 plus episodes, we've just had some of the most fun, amazing guests from all the different worlds of Disney, stretching out to even Hulu and ESPN. And that's just, it's just been so much fun. So I am one of the co-hosts. I represent D23, obviously. And then I've got the fabulous Sherry Henry, who represents Oh My Disney, and the fantastic Toni Morrison from Good Morning America. And the three of us form a somewhat perfectly imperfect trifecta for these. And they're just terrific, great people. And we've got a fantastic producer named Bruce and a great editor named Paul. So it's a great team that all works together every week. And the fun thing is that, because of course we're all Disney fans, we skip a lot of the like questions that we assume everyone already knows the answers to. So it's like, let's get in there. Let's go for a deep dive. What's something you didn't know? What's a funny story? And that's what's so fun about interviewing so many of the guests who you've had, people like Josh Strickland, Heidi Blickenstaff, and of course the upcoming fabulous Kara Lindsay. I've gotten to know them personally, but I also have gotten to know them professionally. And so we just sort of dive right in, and it's so much fun. I mean, it's just great. But then we also get to talk to really cool people who work for the company, and Imagineers, or people who have fascinating jobs that we maybe don't necessarily think about every day. That was a really long answer. I'm sorry.
No, it's perfect. I always love that the people that work for Disney that truly love it, it makes a difference. So thank you for doing that.
Of course. It's funny, because when we started, and I used to many years ago host a video podcast called Disney Geek for D23. And when we started those, people were like, of course, you say you like everything. You work for the company. And I'm like, no. I am on the bandwagon. I love all of this stuff. And what's nice is that I've gotten to know enough people now. They're like, oh, you really do like all of this stuff. When you say something's amazing, which is a word I'm sure I overuse on the podcast, you really do think it's amazing. And it's true, because I do. It's great to be able to talk about this stuff, because I am a huge fan.
That's great. I like to ask everyone, what's the first thing you want to do the next time you go to a Disney theme park?
Well, I'm going on Friday, so I'm like trying to think, like, should yeah. I talk about it like this? This podcast is probably going to come out after Friday. So what's the first thing that I'm going to have done?
I always say the next time you go. So let's say Friday.
Time I go. I'm going to go on Haunted Mansion holiday. It's always a treat. I haven't been able to do it in a while, so I'm very excited. I can't wait. I will be honest. I'm not a huge Halloween person, but I do love Christmas. I'm the, as a nice Jewish boy who loves Christmas.
Yeah.
but very excited for Haunted Mansion Holiday to return.
I mean, now I must ask the question. So you view Nightmare Before Christmas as a Christmas movie, not Halloween?
I choose to view it that way because otherwise then it would have to admit I have some love for Halloween, which I am just not a Halloween person. I apologize for all the Halloween people out there. Sherry, my co-host, is a ginormous Halloween fan. She's a bigger Christmas fan, but she does not understand why I'm not on the Halloween bandwagon. It's just not my holiday, but I appreciate those for whom it is.
That's great. Well, Jeffrey, thank you for your time, and also a big thank you for sharing the Disney magic with so many of us. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much for having me, David. This is awesome. And I love the podcast. It's fantastic. So, you know, keep on bringing more of the Disney magic to Broadway and all the Broadway people.
You'll hear about this a bit later, but our episode's guest is actually friends with Jeffrey. This incredible Disney fan has been seen on Broadway in Wicked, Beautiful, and of course originated the role of Catherine Plummer in Newsies. This is what you've been waiting for. Here is Kara Lindsay. Kara, welcome back to E-Ticket to Broadway. It was a delight to have you as part of the Newsies live show. Thank you for joining me again. Are you ready to discuss our love of the Disney parks?
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me again. It was so fun last time.
Of course. So in one word, how would you describe how you feel on Flight of Passage?
Yeah. One word, David. Okay.
You can take two.
David. I think the first thing that's coming to my mind, though, is dirt because of that dirt smell. But it's not dirty. It's like euphoric. It feels like freedom. Freedom.
That's freedom.
I just was impressed by the like all of the senses, you know, and like how they, I was like, wow, I'm smelling dirt as like the dirt's being scuffed up. And I thought that was impressive. So anyway.
And I mean, you told me you love that ride. Do you remember the first time you went on it and were you just freaking out the whole time?
Well, it's funny. The first time I went on it, I was with my sister and brother-in-law and her kids and my nephew, her little boy. He was 6 at the time or 5 or 6, and he was pretty young to be going on that ride. So I was excited for him and him experiencing Disney World for the first time and like getting to go on that ride with him. And I was like worried about him because he's kind of tiny. And as it's like shifting, he's going to fall off of this thing. And he was just glued. He was like, what is happening right now? So I kind of I was experiencing it for the first time and watching it through his eyes, which was just so awesome. My little Elliot.
There is something really exciting about going to parks with kids and watching them experience it. I mean, you recently brought little Emerson into the world.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that going to be like when he's old enough to really, you know, understand what's happening? Are you going to be okay?
I don't know. I'm not okay. Well, we did get to go. We performed at Festival of the Arts 2019. No, it was 2020, very early. And we did get to go there and it was so awesome. He was only, oh my gosh, he was 9 weeks old when we arrived in Disney World. And he was so good. It was so great. And I just carried him in the little carrier throughout the parks. We were walking through Star Wars and just like, and it was so crowded and he just slept. But I was thinking while walking through there and seeing other kids like meet the characters and everything, I just can't wait for him to experience that for the first time. And hopefully soon we'll get to go.
So speaking of going at a young age, do you remember the first time that you went to a Disney park?
You know, it's funny. When you sent me that email, I was like thinking about it. And I don't remember like I think we drove down. I think we drove from Rochester, New York, down to Florida, and we had like a little trailer, and we camped out at I don't know, in some park, like trailer park by Disney World. And I remember Toontown. And like going to Minnie Mouse's house and like going through all those magical houses. I was like, this is where Minnie Mouse lives. Minnie Mouse was my favorite. I love Minnie Mouse. Loved and still do, obviously. But just massive obsession. And it blew my mind that I was like, I'm in her house. So just seeing all that was – that's glued inside of my brain. And I don't know if that was the first time I went or the second time. It might have been the second that I'm remembering, because I think I was pretty young the first time I went to Disney World. I think I was like one or two or something.
I mean, the first time I went, I believe I was 5 months.
Oh, and you remember everything, David.
I do remember. I was like, you know what, David, one day start a podcast about this.
5 months.
But I do like those early memories from going to the parks. Yeah, they're a little blurry, but there's definitely like you just kind of remember a sensation. And I remember the lights as a kid. Oh, I love that you remember Minnie's house.
I know.
Are there other rides besides Flight of Passage that you must go on?
Well, just I guess I really love Soarin'. I mean, that was one that I went on the past few times we were in at Festival of the Arts, and I just love it. I think as an adult, I love it. I'm like, I just went around the world. I love traveling, and I did it in 5 minutes.
It's like just World Showcase. You're like, wow, this is perfect.
It's the World Showcase, yeah. The highlights of the world. I loved it. It's again, I think I like the rides that feel like freedom. Although I do like Rock and Roller Coaster too. That's like a thrill, but then I need an Advil and a break after. But it's really fun. I also kind of like, is the Frozen ride still there?
It's recently there, yeah.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, that's right. They turned, what did they turn?
Maelstrom.
What was it before? Maelstrom. That's right. Yeah, I do. I kind of liked that one.
The original version.
I like the Frozen one.
You like the Frozen overlay. Yeah, I mean, I always, you know, I love Disneyland, and every time there's changes, I get upset. But someone that works there for over 30 years has said, you know, the Disney parks, they're not museums.
And
I was like, that's helpful to remember.
Fair enough.
That is helpful.
Another, I think, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but I used to do show choir in high school in Rochester, New York. Love show choir, you guys. And when I was 17, 18, we did a show choir competition in Disney World at the American Pavilion in Epcot. And then, you know, several years later, I was standing on the American Pavilion stage performing for Festival of the Arts because I had worked with Disney Theatricals doing Newsies. So it was just this full circle moment that was really cool to like think back and remembering how excited I was to be in Disney World and like to be doing show choir in Disney World. It was like marrying all the things I love, musical theater, Disney. And then I got to do it again as a full-on adult with a child. It was just really cool.
Did you do the show with Emerson strapped to your chest?
Yes.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just kind of bounced around and he's like, Mom, you're a little loud for this nap, but that's fine. But we did meet Mickey Mouse with Emerson.
Tell me more.
And Emerson was just like in awe because he I think early on, 9-10 weeks, they see contrast. So that's why I like black and white prints. Babies love looking at that. And I think there's something about, you know, Mickey's eyes and just his features that Emerson just loved looking at. He didn't cry or anything. He was so mesmerized by Mickey. Who isn't?
I know. Same.
Right. You had the same reaction?
Always.
Yeah.
I also love, I've said this on the podcast, that when we go to a Disney park to get a photo taken with Mickey, we will always say, let's go meet Mickey. Even though we've met him so many times, we still say we're going to go meet him.
Oh, because it's always brand new.
It's either brand new or it's just like the traditional meetup. I don't know. Mm. I love it.
Do you remember when they had – oh, sorry. I keep cutting you off, Dave.
No. This is you.
No, it's you. Didn't they have a Mickey Mouse was talking? Like they had Mickey
Mouse. He did briefly. I mean, he always talks in my heart. But yes, for a few brief moments at Walt Disney World, Mickey's mouth did move. It's no longer.
Change.
You know, I think if it's not broke, don't fix it.
It's true. Maybe his mouth couldn't keep up, you know?
Yeah. Kara, as a kid, did you watch a lot of the Disney movies?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Listen, I know that you love Belle, and I want to point out to our listeners, you are wearing a yellow dress right now.
I'm wearing a yellow shirt that looks like a yellow dress, but yes. And I have my hair like Belle. You know, yes. when we're doing a Disney podcast and we're talking about our favorites, I must dress like my favorite. Yeah, I love Belle. I was very much drawn to her. And I think, you know, I looked like her. You know, she's brown hair and like I was kind of the loner or like the outcast or whatever, like just kind of the weird girl at school. Like with the unibrow and like buck teeth and
did you read a lot? Was your
That's
nose
the funny
stuck
thing. I no, not so much that part. I was more stuck in playing sports and stuff, but I did love R.L. Stein books. I was obsessed.
Oh, yes, Goosebumps.
I love Goosebumps. I loved them.
I loved Goosebumps, too. I mean, I know we're the same age that when we were growing up, Disney's Renaissance really intersected directly with our childhood.
Yes.
Besides Beauty and the Beast, were you a big Little Mermaid fan, Lion King, Aladdin? All of those.
All of the above. Definitely. And really around the holidays, when the Lindsay side of my family would do Christmas with the Lindsay side on Christmas Day. And we would always watch a Disney film for Christmas. You know, very Christmassy. but we would, generally it was Little Mermaid. I loved watching all of them. But really Beauty and the Beast constantly. And Newsies, but mostly it was the animated films, like the princesses, you know.
Did you go back to like the OG Snow White, Cinderella, Pinocchio?
Yes. Oh yeah. I had all of those. All of those. Like the thick VHS case. What is that called? Is it called something?
The VHS cassette?
Yeah. It's like it opens like a book. It's like, there's your VHS tape inside. Yeah, that we had all of those like lined up under our TV stand. Just constantly watching them with my neighbors who I grew up with 1, 2, 3, 4 girls. We were all the same age and we're all still very close. And we would just watch movies together and all these specifically Disney movies. And yeah, but Beauty and the Beast was number one.
Kara, you also told me that you're a big Pixar fan with both Inside Out and Coco.
I know. It's so
those
funny.
Those are great ones too.
Those are great. And I think I've been thinking about WALL-E a lot and Soul. I saw Soul recently, right? It's called Soul?
Yep.
Yeah.
Soul.
Just all of them. They're just so genius. The way they tug at your heartstrings and the way they have such profound, deep messages that are beyond a child's understanding, I would think. But I think they catch a lot of it. But it's really for adults, man. I mean, yeah, I just – Inside Out is – it makes me cry every time. And Coco, oh, man, with the grandma.
I love Coco.
I saw that so many times on the Disney Cruise Lines because, you know, Kevin and I perform on the Disney Cruise Lines as well, which are coming back and I can't wait.
Clearly for fans of Disney and Broadway, you're a big, big star as you starred in Newsies on Broadway. You just mentioned that you had seen Newsies as a kid. Did you dance around your living room like me and probably so many to all of those songs?
It's funny. I don't know that I was dancing along with the guy. I grew up doing competition dance and love dancing so much ever since I was 5 years old. But really, I think I would watch ballet dancers, and I loved watching figure skating, which is not really dance. I guess it's dancing on ice. But yeah. But I loved watching that. But then with Newsy specifically, I just had crushes on them. I just was like drooling over them and how cute they were. So
that opening carrying the banner scene was monumental, I think, for many children of the 90s.
Yes, and Christian Bale, like with the hair, just, oh, I was very into that look. I know that a lot of the boys that did Newsies on Broadway, they were inspired by watching Newsies, the 1992 film, and seeing boys dance like that. That's what inspired them to dance. I'm lucky, as a female, like I've seen so many girl dancers, so I could cling to a lot of female dancers. And with the boys that were in Newsies, they didn't have a ton to look to. And so with Newsies coming out in 1992, I mean, I guess they were able to look to Gene Kelly. There were several, like, you know, classic male dancers. But I don't know, like seeing young boys dance like that, I think was really inspiring to them. And they're like, oh, I want to do that as well.
And so when you heard that Newsies was coming to Broadway, clearly the role in the movie was not there, per se. What was the audition process like as you kind of read the script? You're like, wow, I don't remember this in the movie. What was all that like for you?
I remember so vividly trying to figure out who Catherine Plummer was. I was like, okay, I know I've seen the movie. I saw Newsies, and she ain't in it. She ain't in it. So who is this girl? I could not figure it out. And I was like, maybe they changed the name to Sarah. Maybe it's not Sarah. It's Catherine now. I was so confused because I don't think we got a script. I think it was still being worked on. And they just gave us I should go back and look at the email because I'm sure I still have it. I still have my audition packet and watch what happened. So, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. But so I do remember thinking I did not know who this person was. And then looking through the specifics that they gave us, I realized that this was not Davy's sister. This is an added character. I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I immediately went to, what are the fans going to think? Like, what are they, is this okay? And do I feel okay with this? changing something so classic can be really difficult for a fan following. And it's a huge responsibility when you take on a role that's completely new and it's not what the fans are used to. So that can be scary, but anyway, the audition process, we received a lot of sides from casting, Telsey casting, and it was the second half of Watch What Happens, and then I think a part of something, it wasn't Something to Believe In. It was called Then I See You Again, before, and I love that duet. It's my favorite one. I love Something to Believe In as well, but Then I See You Again, maybe it's because it was the first one. I don't know. It was the OG. We had to do a portion of that and then a few scenes. And we went through several auditions, one being a dance call, if you had a call back. And then we had a work session with Jeff Calhoun, the director, and Michael Kozarin, who's the music supervisor, and lots of others. And then we had a final call back. And it was with every Disney theatrical person, you know, including Tom Schumacher is set front and center. Alan Menken's in there. Harvey Fierstein's in there. Just like all of these people. I walk in. It's this big ballet studio like on the Upper West Side. Oh my gosh. What is it? Ballet Hispanico?
Yeah. That's out there.
Yeah. That's where it was. That's where the final audition was. We walk into the audition room and the whole length of the room is filled with people, including the names I mentioned before. And my heart dropped into my hoo-ha. And I was like, oh my God. And then you're reading with Jeremy Jordan, who I did know because my husband did Bonnie and Clyde with him at in Florida. Was it La Jolla? No, not La Jolla. Well, it's in
Oslo.
Oslo. Yeah, in Oslo. I had met him when Kevin was doing that. So I did know him. But anyway, so I'm in the room reading with him, and I like feel myself sweating and like trying to pretend like those people aren't there. And also like trying to pretend like I don't really, really, really want this job. You know, like I'm like, I want this so badly. Cause at that point, when you go through four, I think this was the final fourth one, you start to imagine yourself in the role. And all of us girls did. So luckily though, I think a lot the final three or four of us were in the show. So it was me, and then Caitlin Coggle ended up being the female swing, and Lori Valdir was the onstage understudy for Catherine. So a lot of us in that final callback did get cast in Newsies, which is really cool. Anyway, so yeah, I remember that whole thing and being so nervous. And then I remember Mark Hobie from Paper Mill, because I met him doing Little House on the Prairie, and obviously Newsies was going to be premiering at Paper Mill Playhouse. And I had a relationship with Mark Hobie because of Little House on the Prairie. And he texted me and he's like, did you hear anything yet? And I was like, no, I got home like 2 hours ago. I probably won't. He's like, okay, well, call me when you do. And I was like, okay, you know something? And he's like, just pretend like I didn't text you. I was like, oh my gosh. So I just got all jittery. I was like, oh my gosh, is it happening? Is this happening? And I remember being in my Upper East Side apartment. Like, it was not – Upper East Side sounds very fancy, but it was like a hole in the wall. It's like I paid so much money for like this, you know, dresser drawer, not even a closet. And I just remember hearing from my agents and just like so excited. I mean, at that point, it was going to be a Paper Mill Playhouse, period. That's it. Right. The show was being done for licensing. There were so many illegal productions of Newsies being done around the country, around the world, I think, including my middle school growing up. we weren't the only ones. So many people did it. And I think a lot of times you just don't know that that's not what you're supposed to do. Like, you're just like, this is – I love – people love this show. Yeah, it was just so exciting. And it didn't matter. I was like, it was my dream to be a part of a Disney show, period. I wanted to play Belle in Beauty and the Beast. And it was still on Broadway when I was moving to the city. Well, when I was about to move to the city. And then like maybe a month or two before I moved to the city and announced that it's closing. And I was like, my dreams are crushed. It'll never happen. I always say that Catherine Plummer is like the best Disney princess I could have ever imagined playing. I mean, I know she's not technically a princess, but she's just badass and cool, and she's smart. So,
Kara, if you could suddenly transport yourself back to the Nederlander to relive one song or moment in the show, which one would you choose?
Whenever these questions are like one thing,
I have a
very hard time with that.
Okay,
day,
you can choose two.
Okay.
You blink your eyes, you reopen them, and suddenly you're on stage. And what are you doing?
I think it's that part, that pyramid part in King of New York where they're like,
she's standing up,
down together.
She's you know, dancing. Doing that part.
Dancing. Thank you for narrating.
This is a podcast, but I just got a lovely tap dance.
That pyramid over there, flap, shuffle, whatever. I can't even say it. It's where Catherine's coming down with the Newsies. They're all joining together and tapping together. It's like it just felt so exciting, and I felt what it must feel like to be a Newsie. To be dancing with a team of strong dancers and telling this fantastic story together and being in sync with them. And they are masters of their craft. And to be dancing alongside them was really just the best. And that's the moment I thought of immediately. I picture Jess Loprato. I picture Evan Kasperzak. Just like we would just, you know, wink at one another, and I was dancing with them. Like, what?
Who would you most like to go to Walt Disney World with? Glinda, Catherine, or Cynthia Weil?
Oh, I don't know about Glinda because she'd make it all about herself, you know?
Yes.
Catherine would know everything about the parks because she would have investigated. So she'd probably take me on like secret passageways. And then Cynthia Weil would just be hilarious. Like she would just like make fun of people. So, you know, she'd be people watching, making fun of their outfits because she's a stylish fashionista. I think I'd want to go with Catherine Plummer because I'd probably learn a lot. I mean, obviously, and she's a Disney character. So,
yeah, so she would probably
get, one must go with a Disney character. Right.
And Kara, if you were to get a job at the parks, which job would you choose?
Oh. Well, I'd probably want to play Belle at that in the Beauty and the Beast that they perform there. I'll be her.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, silly. We'll be right back. Oh, what's the big idea with these commercials? Oh, if this were my show.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Kara, it's time for fast pass answers. 30 seconds on the clock after I ask the first question to answer as many as you can. You ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
Here we go.
Okay.
Name any song from Newsies.
Seize the Day.
Favorite Disney movie?
Beauty and the Beast.
Name a ride in Fantasyland.
That's the sound I make when I'm on the ride.
Say the teacups.
The teacups. What else is in Fantasyland, though?
A lot. Name a character in Wicked.
Glinda.
Favorite snack in the parks.
Mickey Mouse. The Mickey bars.
True or false? You watch What Happens.
That's true.
Sorry. I mean, that was really exciting.
You watch What Happens.
You watch What Happens.
I watched and it happened. So, that's my favorite question, David.
Yeah, well, it's a good one.
Put on your thinking ears. It's trivia time. Oh, boy.
It is trivia time. Kara, you love Belle from Beauty and the Beast, a movie so many of us enjoyed as a child when it was theatrically released and continue to love to this very day. Mm-hmm. Before opening at Tokyo Disneyland last year, Enchanted Tale of Beauty and the Beast, an incredible trackless attraction that brings guests into the Beast Castle to meet all of the wonderful characters, was supposed to open at a different Disney park in the mid-90s as an experience similar to the Tiki Room. In which Disney park was this attraction supposed to open?
Disney World? I don't know.
It's not Disney World. I'm going to give you a hint. It's actually where Beauty and the Beast is based.
Oh, in the Paris.
Yes, Disneyland Paris.
Oh, awesome.
It would have been so interesting as kind of a tiki room experience, but I think it's awesome. I mean, I've watched the videos and Tokyo Disneyland where it is open. It looks so cool.
That's so cool.
Have you been to Tokyo Disney or any of the international
parks? I would have loved to. No, I've only been to Disney World, and I have a confession, and I might get kicked off this podcast as I say it, but I've not been to Disneyland, and I've been to LA multiple times.
Yeah.
I know. Am I kicked off?
Well, I'm
people are going to stop the podcast, right?
No, because listen, I'm such a fierce land boy. And
really?
I've been to World twice. But I think for many people, they are thrilled that this is purely someone that's only been to Walt Disney World.
Oh, yeah. I've only been to Walt Disney World and many, many times. But yeah, not Disneyland yet. And I guess because I heard it was smaller, I was like, well, I don't want to go there.
That's it. Now you're kicked off. That is the original Walt's Park.
I know. And I should go. I need to go. I'm going to go back. Go to Disneyland. You mark my words, I'm going.
In the Broadway musical Newsies, you famously brought to the stage the song Watch What Happens, which has made an impact on so many Broadway fans. In the song, your character Catherine looks to the exciting future, like so many of us Disney fans do as well, always excited for the next celebration or new attraction or parade. In this game, Watch What Happens or Watch What Happened, I'm going to describe an event that happened at a Disney park, and I need you to tell me if that event has already happened or is going to happen.
Oh, man. All right.
If you think that what I share has already happened, like Disneyland opened, you can answer, Watch What Happened.
Got it.
And if I say something like Shanghai Disneyland celebrates 50 years, you can say, Watch What Happens.
Oh, got
it. Any questions?
No, thank you for that explanation.
You got it. So whatever happens, let's begin.
Ooh.
Okay. And where's for those of you listening, what?
I need you to belt that.
Oh, no. No, thank you. I say that for the
Your listeners
performers.
Need it.
Nope. I'm thrilled to direct someone belting it, but I let the professionals do their thing. So, and for those of you listening, it is July of 2021 as we record this. So if you're listening to this in the year 2040, things might have changed.
Right. It might have watched what happened.
I know. Everything probably watched what happened. Okay. Right. Here we go. So the first event, Fantasy Springs opening at Tokyo Disney Sea, a themed land comprised of three distinct areas, recreating the worlds of Frozen, Tangled, and Peter Pan.
Watch What Happened.
That is a Watch What Happens. It's coming in 2023. It's not there yet.
Oh,
I know.
Darn it. I'm sorry. I'm out of the loop.
It's okay. Here comes number two for Watch What Happens or Watch What Happened. The Matterhorn, the very first tubular steel coaster in the world, begins operation at Disneyland.
Watch What Happened.
That is right. In 1959.
Yes! Oh, wow. That's like so long ago.
No, now that you haven't been to Disneyland, I can't wait to take you on the Matterhorn, the very first tubular steel coaster. Okay, number three, okay. Avengers Campus opens at Disney California Adventure, bringing the characters of Marvel to the parks.
Oh, man. Watch What Happened?
It did. You are right, because it opened on June 4th, 2021. So it
that's
just
right.
opened.
I was like, did this just happen? I knew it was happening.
And that's tricky because there's other ones across the world that are going to open that have. So you answered correctly. Well done.
Man.
It did just happen. Okay, number four. The world's most magical celebration, Walt Disney World celebrates its 50th anniversary.
Watch What Happened. No. Wait.
What would be your other choice?
Watch What Happens.
Yes, that's right. Because it's happening this year on October 1st, 2021.
Okay, that's what
They're getting
I was
ready
about.
For it. Yeah.
Great. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Wait, when?
October 1st, it kicks off, 2021. 50 years.
This is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Disneyland, the park that you've never been to, celebrated that in 2005.
Right.
But that's okay. Yeah.
I know. I know. I hadn't been to LA in 2005. Yeah.
Okay.
So. Okay. The judgment in your OOK, David.
I know. It's hard. I love Disneyland. And as someone that loves the park so much, just to go to Walt's Park
Yeah.
I think you would really enjoy.
No, absolutely. I definitely need to go. I got a tour of the Disney offices when I was in LA. Not Disneyland, but the Disney offices.
That is good. That's cool.
My friend Jeffrey Epstein, like he's a wealth of knowledge. He took us on a tour of all of those offices and like how everything, the inner workings of Disney. And I was like, oh my God. Like where they... where the employees get to see the films for the first time. And like, it's just, it was so cool.
Number five, the Remy's Ratatouille Adventure Attraction is open for guests in World Showcase at Epcot.
Watch What Happened. Watch What Happens. Oh my gosh. I saw them building it. I saw them building this. Watch What Happens. I just didn't know if it's already, you know.
It is. You are right. It's there. It's opening also October 1st, 2021.
You know what? These are trick questions, David.
I know. It's more for our listeners to also be very engaged. You know, if I was like, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was released, they'd move on to a different podcast. Cause like,
yeah, it's true.
You know, and I'd be like, no, that was happened. That was in December of 1937.
Yeah.
Okay. Number six, Tron Light Cycle Power Run, a semi-enclosed launch steel motorbike roller coaster attraction at Shanghai Disneyland, launches.
Oh, launches or launched?
Well, everything is like, present I see. For the game.
Okay.
But it's...
I see what you're saying. Watch What Happened?
Yes. It opened on June 16th, 2016, and it is coming to Walt Disney World soon as well.
Ooh.
But it did open. I've had some friends go on it. They love it. It looks so
really?
Cool. It's really awesome. Gosh. Only a few more. Euro Disney says bonjour to guests in France, the fourth Disney theme park in the world.
Watch What Happened.
That happened on April 12th, 1992.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. It was Euro Disney and then, of course, Disneyland Paris today, but yes.
Okay.
Okay, three more.
Okay. I get a 50-50 chance, you know? So like,
you really do. Yeah. And you can always mumble at the end and be like, I can be like, I think you said this. So, you know, you're totally.
Yeah. Watch What Hum.
Yep, that's right. Okay. Okay, number eight, Adventures with Princess Tiana, a log flume ride attraction comes to Critter Country at Disneyland and Frontierland at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom.
Watch What Happened. Oh, right. They're adding it. Watch What Happens.
That's
Watch
right.
What Happens.
We're not sure the timeline, but yes, that's coming to
the
park.
That's like recently announced.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Very exciting. Great. I'm excited for that.
This one's tricky. So if you need to call a friend, you can.
Oh, okay. I'm going to call David.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Okay, number nine. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway rolls into Disneyland Park, the first major Mickey-themed ride attraction.
Watch What Happened.
Watch What's Happening. I did hear that final S. I did hear a D, but it ended with an S, which means you are correct. It's aiming for 2023. It did open on March 4th, 2020 in Walt Disney World.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Final one.
All right. I'm ready. I'm so
Listen,
ready.
If you could get through that song with all of those lyrics, you can do anything.
I can say Watch What Happened.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. Fantasmic, the nighttime spectacular, begins performances at Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World.
Watch What Happened.
That's right. October 15th, 1998. That did already happen.
Yeah.
And it opened 5 years earlier at Disneyland. Did you know that?
I did not because I have not been there.
That's right.
And you hate me for it.
No.
But I will get there. And I can't wait.
Great. Well, congratulations, Kara. You did well for Watch What Happens or Watch What Happened as a prize, you get to go back to Walt Disney World whenever you book your flight.
Oh my goodness, it'll only cost me $800. I can't wait.
That's right.
Now let's hear from some of you, huh?
Carrie, put it on our Instagram account. Your fans are so excited to ask you about Disney. Here we go. Wesley asks, what Disney ride could you see yourself starring in a musical adaptation of?
Hi, Wesley. That was such a good question and so detailed, and I love it. And oh my gosh, that's so hard. I think I would say Flight of Passage because it's on my brain, but I'm sure I have more in there. I would play the Banshee. So
that's perfect. Great.
I think I'd scream a lot.
Yeah. Sarah asks, do you have a favorite memory from the Disney on Broadway concert series at Epcot?
I think there's something about performing outside that is really unique. We've been performing outside a bit more recently, but I just remember feeling the band behind me, and they're incredible. Like their energy and the energy of the audience, and also being with the elements, being outside and feeling the breeze, you just sort of feel like this rock star. And it was just super exciting to just be performing outside and amongst all of these people that are excited to be on vacation. And it wasn't, you know, your typical critical New York audience. People were just so excited to just hear Disney music and sing along with you. It felt like both of us were celebrating, my husband and I performing, and then also like everybody that's watching. And there were these kids that would come in the front row every single night dressed as Newsies, and it just filled my whole being, and they would sing every single lyric with me. And so like if I thought I was going to forget something, I was like, I'm going to look at them.
Yeah, that's right. Tom wonders, did you base your Glinda off of any Disney princess?
Oh, that's a good question. No, but oh gosh, what's the name of the character in Princess and the Frog?
Tiana?
The blonde. Blonde, yes. Not
Jen
Tiana.
Jen Cody voiced her.
Jen Cody, yeah. That character is like a lot like how – when I see – now like watching the movie after playing Glinda, I'm like, oh – that's a lot – like that's how I envisioned Glinda to be, but I had not seen it yet. Really, who inspired me was Kendra Kassenbaum. I think she's just remarkable, and I loved the humanity that she brought to Glinda and the heart and the quirk and the awkwardness that she brought. I think it made her much more relatable. And that was – I looked to her. I thought she did an amazing job and made it truly her own. And I was like, I want to try and do what she did. Yeah.
That character's name is Charlotte.
Charlotte! Yeah.
Emily wants to know, what do you think would be Catherine's favorite snack at a Disney park?
Catherine's favorite snack?
That is specific.
Well, at a specific park –
oh, no, I'm saying that's a very specific question.
Oh, okay. I was like, aren't they? They have pretty much the same kind of cuisine, sort of.
She also was wondering about a favorite ride, if that's easier.
Well, I mean, the Dole Whip, yum.
Okay.
but I don't know why that would be her favorite. I just like ice cream. Kara likes ice cream, so.
Okay, perfect.
If Kara's playing Catherine, we'll get ice cream.
Mark wants to know how it was being the lone female lead in Newsies. I'm going to say besides Capathia, of course.
Capathia! She and I shared a dressing room. She's the best. Oh my God. She would always – sorry, I know I'm sidetracking here, but she would always ask, how's your spirit? Not how are you today? How's your spirit? And for some reason, I would like well up, or I'd like be joyful. It's like, oh my God. She's the best. But it was awesome. We always had our dressing room door open when we could, you know, when we're not changing costumes. But we had a candy jar for the boys, because they're dancing their butts off, and then they have to like climb 5-6 flights of stairs. They're at the top dressing rooms. We were on the second floor. So we're like, just on your way up, stop for a snack and then continue up. Or they would just like plop down. Like I remember, I have so many memories of Tommy Bracco just laying flat on our floor, just like so sweaty. And he's like, I need a break. It's like, all right, you can take your break. But yeah, it was wonderful. I've never had brothers, so I now have 20. And I always say this, that like the toilet seat was always up everywhere. Just like a whole building full of men, and then like five girls. So I always had to check because I found out the hard way.
Yes. Oh gosh.
You know, well, just like falling in. I was like, oh my God, I'm like in a men's locker room.
Danielle asks, who is more of a Disney princess, Catherine or Glinda?
A Disney princess? I would say Catherine. Okay. You know,
I support that. I really do. I do.
Well, I think that, you know, Glinda has this evolution that where she becomes more Disney-like. You know, she learns. Yeah, she learns how to be a better person and use the power that she has for good. So, bring it. So, yeah, I think she becomes more Disney-like and looks more princess-like. But Catherine, I think, has the spirit of every Disney princess that has been created, that goodness. So, yeah, Catherine.
Sophia, Holly, Jana, Abby, everyone wants to know who your favorite Disney character or princess is. I think it's the same answer for both.
It's Gaston. Though I do love Gaston. Like if I were a guy, I would want to play Gaston or LeFou. I just think it would be really fun. So I did Little House on the Prairie with Steve Blanchard, and he actually played the Beast for 8 years, and he also played Gaston on Broadway for I think maybe a few years. But I just think that's so cool that he was like in Beauty and the Beast and played both Gaston and then moved on to play the Beast. But anyway, I would love to play Gaston. Anyway, my favorite Disney princess, yes, obviously is Belle.
Kirsten asks, do you have a favorite Disney newsie?
Multiple.
I think that's the best answer. I don't mean to get – I think multiple is good. Yeah. We don't want people to – we don't want any newsies listening to feel like they were not your favorite.
Oh, no, they wouldn't feel that way. Yeah, I mean, I love all of them. And I think, you know, like I was saying about King of New York, that moment where we're in that pyramid coming down stage together, flapping down stage. I think I just – it would just be so cool to know what it's like to feel what it's like to dance and move in that way and fly across the stage like that. Like I think of Ryan Steele, I think of Alex Wong, I think of these incredible dancers and the way they're able to just glide like that or tap like that. I mean, Mike Feist, who's now like this huge star, he was the onstage understudy for Jack Kelly. And I remember him doing these, the tremor tap or whatever on the table. And like, he is a master tapper. And getting to tap alongside them was just so, so awesome. So I would love to be any of them. I would love to know what it's like to be in their being and to be able to move like that, period.
Craig wants to know, what was the hardest part of learning Watch What Happens?
You know, I would say the lyrics, but actually Jack Feldman, I love him so much. He's a genius. So writers, the creative teams, you know, composers, lyricists, book writers, they are the best actors. They understand, or they should be. They understand the inner workings of a character and what they would go through and the layers of that. So he was so detailed in what, because he's a writer himself. So he knows what writer's block is like. He's probably like going through his own thoughts and he's like, oh, I'm going to write that down and trying to write something. And so it actually, he made it easy for me because it was your natural train of thought and how you would get distracted when you're trying to focus. Like it just made sense to me, the lyrics. But I think the hardest part of Watch What Happens for me was breath support. And trying not to get, because it is such a heightened moment for her, I was trying not to get ahead of myself. Like, you still have to be able to sing the song at the end. But also that, like, it doesn't have to be so singy. It's this patter song. It's a song. But, like, trying to balance all of those things, like, the balance of it was the hard part, I think. You know, trying to be able to get through by the end and not be like, and no voice. And I pushed everything up.
It's time for some tough choices. Let's play Tweedledee or Tweedledum.
Kara, this is Tweedledee or Tweedledum. I'm going to give you two options. Let me know which one you prefer. Here we go. Tweedledee or Tweedledum, It's a Small World or The Jungle Cruise?
The Jungle Cruise.
Okay. Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Epcot or Animal Kingdom?
Epcot.
Okay.
I like them both. This isn't fair. Okay.
I know.
Go.
I know. Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Timon and Pumbaa or Mushu and Cricket?
Wait. Timon and Pumbaa.
Great. They're great. They're classic, but from Mulan, Mushu and Cricket.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, final one. Seize the Day or Carrying the Banner?
Seize the Day. I love Seize the Day. I love it so much. Especially when they come down stages at that like quintet moment. Ugh. But Carrying the Banner kind of has that with the nuns. I don't know.
Speaking of belting, that mother in the movie, we love her.
Yeah.
Iconic.
I know. And we're like, you can't cut that from this musical. And they did. Mm. They're like, we actually can.
Kara, what's the first thing you're going to do the next time you go to a Disney park?
The first thing I'm going to do? Oh, I really want to see the fireworks. I mean, that won't be the first thing because that'll be at the end of the day. but that's what I want to see. I want to, be with everyone and watch the fireworks in Magic Kingdom at the end of the night.
That is a perfect answer. Kara, thank you for joining me on eTicket once again, for sharing your love of Flight of Passage and Minnie Mouse and visiting her house, Beauty and the Beast, The Little Mermaid, your time in Newsies, and of course, your love of the fireworks. You've been a perfect guest, so thank you.
Oh, David, thank you. You're so sweet. Thanks for having me. It's delightful. I need to get to Disneyland and I can't wait.
Yes. Well, we will see you at the parks.
Awesome.
See you real soon on the next episode.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.